So it's hard to say that Sunday night we learn Parshas HaShavua. We don't really learn Parshas HaShavua. We deal with interesting, fascinating sugyas, and we look for some kesher to Parshas HaShavua. So that is what we'll do today as well. And this is actually a shiur I said and I spoke about last week. Maybe it was more associated with the parsha than this week, but it's associated this week as well. And the topic we will be discussing is a very interesting halachic discussion, a gewaltige chiddush of Rav Moshe Feinstein, maybe, perhaps, the greatest poisik of our time, in Eges Moshe. What's the kesher to Parshas HaShavua? V'yelech Reuven b'yemei k'tziyachitim v'yimtze deduam v'suda v'yoveyesam aleyemoy. And Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Tzadik Tes, Tzadikim einam poishtim yodam begezel. So Reuven didn't bring chitim, he didn't bring seorim, he brought deduim because he found them on the field. And when you find something besoda, it's probably hefker. And my question is, but how did Leah know that Reuven found these deduim besoda? According to basic arithmetic, Reuven was 6 years old when this story happened, when it transpired. He was a child. So Reuven comes home with flowers, beautiful flowers. He tells his mother, I found them. We all have kids. Some of us have a little Einikler. And when a child comes home with $100, and you ask him, where did you get this? And he said, I found it. You're a bit skeptic sometimes about it. So how could Leah know that Reuven found these, they do in Besoda, and their hefker? Obviously, she relied on Reuven. So last week in the Parsha, Yitzchak loves Esav, Kitzayim Befev, and the Unkelus explains, Esav was the one that cared for Yitzchak's need, and Yitzchak was totally dependent on Esav. Esav was the one that brought him food every day. How did Yitzchak rely on Esav? It's a halach and some kuf yutes in your day, Sif Aleph, Choshed al adovar, Einoy meyed olav. Esav wasn't really very frum. I doubt he was makpid in the hechzer of the Eide Charedes. So how does Yitzchak rely on Esav and eat his food? So what I would like to discuss today, two basic yesoides, and each of them is a great chiddush. One is from the Rashba and Mishmeh Sabayis, but that will be towards the end of today's shiur. So Rav Moshe was asked, Tshuva Sigas Moshe, two different tshuvas, B'chelek Aleph Yuladei, Simen Nun Dalet, and once again in Simen Samech Hei. A question that I've been asked maybe hundreds of times, but the other way around, and it's encouraging that we have the same question, but in a totally different situation, a different scenario. So the first tshuva, Moshe writes to a question from Moscow in Tofres Tzadik Dalet, going back 85 years. Second tshuva is in America, but both shaylos are the same. People that are frum, the elderly parents, the children are no longer frum, whether the parents could eat at their children's house. When the children aren't frum, they're not medaktik bekashis, but a father and a mother knows and he feels, I have decent children, honest children, they won't feed me food that I would not eat at home. And their personal conviction, totally subjective, is, I believe my children and I could rely on them. Is that acceptable by halachic criteria? Could a person rely on a person that, by halachic definition, has no nemonos? But his personal conviction is, my child will not feed me non-kosher food. And I've been asked the same shaila, but usually in our times it's the other way around. Children that are frum, and the fathers are not frum, and the children want to stay over at their parents' home. And a youngster says, I know my mother. My mother might not be frum, but she will not give me food that I would not eat in my standards of kashas. So the question is the same. Could a person rely on his totally subjective conviction that I could trust this person? And Rav Moshe in both tshuvas says yes. even though the person has no basic nomonas by halachic criteria. But if you know and you feel that you could trust them, you could rely on that. And Rav Moshe's source is the Gemara in Ksuvis, Daf, Pei Hei, Omed Aleph. So the Gemara tells that Rav Chisda was sitting in Beis Din, and a woman was Meschayev Shavua. And Bas Rav Chisda tells Rava, I know this lady, and she's Choshe Dara Shavua. So Rava turns the Shavua off to the other party, and he says, then you give this Shavua. And Rava was asked, Bas Rav Chisda is a woman, and a woman is not kosher la'idus lefi halacha. And Rava says, Kimli begava delo mishakre. I know her. How did Rava know Bas Rav Chisda? She happened to be his wife. So why does he call her Bas Rav Chisda? So obviously, Rava admired his wife not because she was an Eishes Chavar, but because she was a Bas Talmud Chochem. So when Rava speaks about in admiration about his wife's nemonis, he calls her Bas Rav Chisda, not Eishes Rava. Rava was an onav, and in his eyes, that's not what she's all about, but she is Bas Rav Chisda. And Rava says, Kimli begavad lo mishakri. And then Rava was sitting with Rav Pupa in another din Torah, and Rav Pupa says, well, this shtar is a shtar parua. You can't use this shtar. Either the claimant or the defendant took out a shtar. And Rava asks Rav Pupa, you're an Ed Echod. An Ed Echod doesn't have namonis. Is there another Ed together with you? And Rav Pupa asks Rava, you trusted Bas Rav Chisda. And you won't trust me? I'm one of the greatest Amiroim. And Rava says, Bas Rav Chisda Kimli Begava. I know her and he knows she would never lie. I don't know you. It's good. And Rav Pupa says, so we learn from Rava that if you know someone personally and you trust him, you could rely on him. So Abba Meri Bari, my son Abba Meri, I know him and I know he's trustworthy and therefore I would rely on him. Karana l'shtar alpiv, I would rip a shtar if he says it's a shtar perua. And the Gemara says, you would destroy a shtar? Karana l'shtar, ela marana l'shtar. So we see the Gemara limits the nemonis based on personal conviction and personal knowledge. You cannot destroy a shtar. Aval afshar atil dofi b'shtar. And there's a machlokes on Rishonim. What is the mishmos of marana l'shtar? But it is from this sugya that we learn, says Reb Moshe, that even a dayan could rely on personal conviction. Rava says, I know my wife, Bas Rav Chisda, she would never lie, and I trust her. Rav Pupa says the same regarding his son. So Reb Moshe says, the same rule would be relevant even in kashrus, in Issa v'Heter. So if children are staying with their parents want to come to their children, and they have personal conviction, not based on halachic definition, but personal conviction, they could rely on their personal knowledge and trust that their parents, their children, will not feed them non-kosher food. And then there is tshuva number three, Inigis Moshe, Yoredei Chelek Beis Simen Mem Gimel, dealing with another question. A person sells food, he has a shop, he has a restaurant, he has no hechsher, and he's not even from, he's not even shoyim Shabbos. But the Rav of the community and many other members of the community know him as an honest, trustworthy, decent person, and when a from person comes to sell meat, he gives him kosher meat. For the non-from, from the goyim, he sells non-kosher meat. Could we rely on him? So, Derech Agav, this is just a side comment. Chuvas Minchas Osher Chelek Aleph, I don't recall which simon it is, but I wrote an Ariches based on Divrei HaKadmonim, going back 900 years to the Tur, more than 200 years to the Chayodom. There's a difference between personal conduct of an individual, and he could rely on anybody he trusts. Kosher person that is a menachtig b'mitzvah, said echod neima b'yisurin. But on the public level, it's different. And on the public level, the Torah already writes Anybody selling meat needs supervision, needs a hechsher. Even though by basic halachic definition, no longer. The Metzias proves. When money is involved, parnosa is involved, you need supervision, you need a hechsher. And we no longer rely on the basic halacha, ve'edechot ne'eman be'isurin. So about this tshuva and Reb Moshe, my response would be very simple and very short. Even if the person would be from, he would need to have supervision and need to have a hechsher. Kal v'chomer if he's a machal Shabbos and he's not from. But Reb Moshe doesn't go into this prat, into this detail. Reb Moshe writes, according to what I pask in the Chelek Aleph, that a person could rely on personal conviction. L'chaira, the same rule would apply in our case. The Rav knows him. Many members of the community know him. They know that he's trustworthy. They feel that he is reliable. But nevertheless, the Moshe says, no, that would not be my psak. And why not? So the Moshe writes a big chiddush. The level of personal conviction and trust is only when we're dealing with close family members, with whom you have an intimate and very close relationship for many years. But relationships between just friends, confidants, people you know, is not the same. It's not on that level that a person could say, Kimli begavei delo nishakra. And therefore, we cannot rely on a person just because we know him, and most people think he's trustworthy. My ha'ora would be, that does not seem to be correct from the sugya in Ksubis. Because when Rava asks Papa, do you have another ed? Papa wonders, you trust your wife, why don't you trust me? So why doesn't Rava say to Rav Papa, Zapella, did you forget the tshuva negas Moshe chelik beisim mem gimel? The negas Moshe says that this rule applies only to family members. We're not family members. Rava doesn't say that. Rava says, I know my wife, but I don't know you well enough.
Maybe that's what he means.
So one could argue, maybe that is what Rava means. I don't know you well enough because we're not family members. But I don't think so. I think the pashtus is mashma. The fact is, I know you as a great Talmud Chacham, but nothing beyond that. We're not personal friends. I don't know you personally. The fact that you're a tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham is not enough. When the Torah says, Al pishnayim eidim yukum dovor, there's no difference between a tzaddik and a simpleton, the greatest sage or a poshet amoritz. As long as he's showing the Torah, it's the same. But I'm aware that one could argue, maybe that is ultimately what Rava means. But there's another Gemara, Yevam Eskufala from his base. And Rav Moshe doesn't bring that Gemara. And it's similar to Ksuvis Pehei. And Rav Yehuda says that if Rav Shmuel ben Yehuda would tell me that a shtar is a shtar perua, or I would rely on him to tear a shtar. And the Gemara asks exactly the same question. Karana, Salkedatach, Ela, Marana. Rav Yehuda and Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda were not family members. They were not relatives. And the Gemara says the same, that I would rely on Rav Shmuel Yehuda, Ben Yehuda, to pass a l'shtar. So that Gemara does not deal with family members, and it's the same halacha. So it does not depend whether the family members are not. Toiv shochan korav ma'ach rochoik. I do agree that it needs to be a very personal relationship, and if it would depend on me, I would say it needs to be a relationship that endured koisoi kisoi vekasoi, because the Gemara says b'shloisha dvarim odim nika, and sometimes you feel you know a person very well until you have the first monetary issue with them, and then you don't recognize them at all. So I would say, you know, if I would have my say, I would say, you could say Kimli Begave Delo Mishakri, but only on the condition that in the course of your relationship you experienced him in Koisoi Kisoi Vekasoi. But nevertheless, so this is the psak of Rav Moshe. And some Gedolim disagree with Reb Moshe, and they argue, all we find in the Gemara is only one limited halacha. Marana l'shtor al piu. So maybe it's just lahachzik es amuchzik b'mamoin, and it's a din mesuyim and din ashtoras and monetary issues. How can you apply this halacha to kashrus as well? And I think Reb Moshe is right. And I will bring several very important sources and lies to Reb Moshe's ruling. One is Tshuvas HaTashbetz, an amazing tshuva. Shalos HaTshuvas HaTashbetz, Chelik Beis Simen Samach. Just a bit of history. The Tashbetz was a Talmud of the Rivash, the greatest Talmud of the Rivash. And they were both in Spain, in the beginning of the Exodus in Spain, the beginning of the Inquisition, going back 600 years. And the Rivash and his Talmud, the Tashbetz, fled Mallorca, in the southern tip of Europe, and they went over the strait, and they landed and they arrived to Algiers. And that is when the magnificent and glorious period of Torah in northern Africa started with the Rivash and the Tashbetz. So the Tashbetz has a tshuva about the Maranos, about Anusei Sfarad. And the Maranos were those that appeared as Christians, as if they converted to Christianity, but in hiding in their own homes, they adhered, many of them adhered to Yiddishkeit. And b'mesiras nefesh, they kept their mitzvahs. And the Tashbetz is asked, could we rely and drink their wine? Are they neman, or do we need to be choshesh shi'ayinom yayinesach? And the Rivash says, no, they have no namonas, and you're not allowed to drink their wine, because many of them are from, but many of them were not Oymid ben Esoyin, and many of them converted to Christianity, and they no longer are reliable, so my psak is, you cannot drink their wine. And then the Rivash writes, Rogel ani loimo. But I say, if you know one of them personally and you trust him, you could drink his wine, but only for yourself, and you can't give that wine to anyone else. So we learn from the Tashbetz two principles. First of all, Reb Moshe is right. So even though the Tashbetz paskins that on the basic level, yainam yainesach, but if you know one of them personally, and you trust him, you could rely on him, but only for yourself and not for others. And therefore, tshuva number gimel that I quoted from the Moshe about the guy that sells meat. So the Rav knows him. Maybe many members of the community know him, but it is impossible that everybody in the city knows someone on a personal level and he feels he could trust him. Be'echleach, they just rely on one another. And no, in this halacha of personal trust, you cannot rely on anyone else. It is only those people that have total personal trust and conviction. Like Rovin Basav Chizdev. Rovin says, Rav Popa, you're different. But everybody knows that Popa is an Amora. This halacha doesn't depend on what everybody knows. It's personal. It's based on personal trust and conviction. And therefore, how could you rely on a person selling meat? Not everybody in the city knows him on a personal level. And what we learn from the Tashbetz is, if you know him and you trust him and you feel you could rely on him, that is for yourself. But you cannot give this wine to anyone else. We move over to another sugya. And today, we will be discussing five sugyas in Shas. Two, I already put on Shulchan Malachim, Ksubis Pehei, Rav and Basav Chizda, Yavomis Kufala from Medbeis, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shmur by Rav Yehuda. There's a sugya three different times in Shas, three different sources in Shas, Ksubis Chav Beis, Bova Basalam Adalaf, Yavomis Peches on Medbeis. Shnaim oimerim es, Shnaim oimerim loy meis, loy teno say, Vim nises teitzei. Two Edim testify, this woman's husband died. She could marry. But then two Edom come along and say, no, he is alive. We saw him alive. If she already married when the first Edom came, lo teitzei. If she did not yet marry until the second Edom came along, and they said, lo meis, lo tenosei. And the Gemara asks, how could you say lo teitzei when it's trei v'trei? It's a sveika d'oraisa. Ha'bole u'ba'oshem tolui. How could we allow a couple to live together when two Edom say she's an Ashes Ish? Yes, there are true Edom that testify that her husband died, but Trei V'Trei. Trei V'Trei is a Sofer Gomer. So how could you say Lo Teitzei? So the Gomorrah says she married one of the Edom that says, I saw him dead. I was there. So if he says, I saw, I know that a previous husband is not alive. So Beis Din has no chiv to intervene. If he is the one that testified that a previous husband, first husband, is dead, then she's entitled to marry him. But then the Gemara asks, well, he testifies that the person is no longer alive. But how about her? So the Gemara says, Bo'imerez borili. She says, it is clear to me that he's not alive. Three different Pirushim and Ishayim. Rashi's Tzat is a Gevaldige Chiddush. Rashi says, I know my husband. If he would be alive, he would come back. And if he's not here, the only explanation would be, to my dismay, he's no longer alive. The Ran rejects Rashi. And the Ran says, how could you call that borili? You know, she assumes, but there are 100 reasons in the course of human experiences that maybe he is alive and he can't come back. Maybe he no longer has battery on a cell phone. Or doesn't have access to email. Maybe he's locked up somewhere. He was taken into custody. Maybe he's wounded. So going back 2,000 years, there was no communications, no telephone, no cell phone, no email. So the woman says, he would come back. Maybe he can't come back. Maybe he's injured. Maybe he's mentally impaired. Maybe he was taken into custody. How could she marry another man and say, borili? So the Ran says, she also testified, I saw when he was killed. I saw his body, just like the aid. And if both of them, they say, we know firsthand that he's no longer alive, Beis Din doesn't know, but Beis Din has no chiyuv to intervene and prevent them from getting married. That is the Ran. But Tosfos Yeshonim Yavam Mispeches Amud Beis says, what's Pshat Borili? I heard from people in whom I have total trust. So those people didn't testify for Beis Din. From Beis Din's point of view, it's Trei V'Trei. Shnayim Omrimes, Shnayim Omrim Loimes. She doesn't say, I saw. I don't have first-hand knowledge. But I heard from people whom I trust. So we see from Tosfos that this halacha of personal trust and conviction is applicable, is relevant, not only by Issa Veheto, even by Issa Eishes Ish. And she is entitled to remarry because she heard from people that she trusts. Beis Din doesn't even know those people. And they didn't come to testify before Beis Din. So this proves that the din of Basar of Chizdeh, Kimli Begavo, the lo mishakre, is relevant not only in Din Ashtoris, the sugis that we find in Yevomis and Iksubis, not only in Issa V'Heter, as we see in Tshuvas HaTashbitz that I quoted before, even in Eishes Ish. Yes.
But it seems it's only personal. What would happen if the Baal Ashtar would go to another Beis Din? Would they have to take in consideration the fact that the Rava was Eishes?
No.
So is it like I'm going to go to another Beis Din and don't have a relationship with Basar of Chizdeh? And then the
theoretically, but not in practicality, because when you come to a Beis Din, you accept the ruling of this Beis Din, not only in our time when you sign a letter of arbitration, but once there are Bota Din Kavuim, and Beis Din had the authority. If you belong to this city, then you're kafuf to this Beis Din, and this Beis Din has the authority. So you can adjust if you lose in one basin, then go over to another basin. So this Tosis proves the Moshe's principle that there is relevance in personal trust and conviction, even regarding an Ishtish. But it is clear to me that in any aloha that requires a this, there is no significance at all in personal conviction. And that is what is Mafurish in Yevamos Kuf Aleph. The Gemara says, could we be moitzi momen al piv sherev shmur bar Yehuda? Al pishneim edem omer rachmona. Elo, marana l'shtara pumei. And that is also the Gemara service. The Gemara wonders, how could you destroy a shtar? To destroy a shtar, to tear a shtar, you need shnei edem. So when you need a Torah to say this, there is no relevance and no significance at all in Basel of Chiz de Kimli Begava de Lo Mishakri. It is only in those alochas where Eidus is not required. So in Issa Veheter, Ed Echod Neman V'Yisurin. And Ed Echod Neman V'Yisurin doesn't even need to be a kosher aid. Minchas Osher Gittin, I think it's Simon Gimel. There's a major discussion, a big arichas I wrote about Ed Echod Neman V'Yisurin, and he explained it's not a din Eidus. It's a din in Anogus Issa Veheter. To testify that a person died to permit his wife to remarry, we don't need proper edus. That is the Tkonos Chachomim in Yevomis Peches. Chachomim gave an amonis to an edechot, even a woman. So when you don't need a Torah to say this, there is significance in personal conviction. And that is the din of Masel of Chizda. So we find this halacha in Issa Veheter, Tshuvas HaTashbetz, and the Psak of Rav Moshe. We find it in Tosis regarding Mezbalech, to give a heter to a woman to remarry, assuming that her husband is no longer amongst the living. Because in these halachas, we don't need a Torah to say this, and therefore it is relevant. And this brings us to Sugya number 4, which is in Kiddushin Daf Samach Vav Omed Aleph. So to testify that a woman was mezana tachas bala, we need shnei edim. However, when a husband says, "Ishti zinso," I know, I saw, then shavi anafshe chaticha de yisur, then she is prohibited. What happens if he says, "I heard from a person," neman alai ke beitrei, asura olav. That is also shavi anafshe chaticha de yisur. He has no personal knowledge. He didn't see. But an aide told him, Ishtecho zinso, neman olav kebeitrei. But in this halacha, to asa an isha labala, we need shnei edim. So Tshuvas HaRashbo, Tshuvas HaMiuchasot LeRamban, and there's a volume in Tshuvas HaRashbo, which is called Tshuvas HaMiuchasot. Today we know, beyond doubt, that these are Tshuvas HaRashbo, but for many years and previous generations, some thought that Tshuvas HaRamban. And therefore they're called Tshuvas HaRashbo HaMiyuchasot LaRamban. Kuf Lamed Gimel, the Rashba writes, this is a din d'rabbonin and it's only a chumra. Because min ha-Torah, the fact that you believe that other person that says Ishtecho zinso is totally irrelevant. Why? Ein dov shabiyar v'pochas mishnayim. So this is only a din d'rabbonin. Many people and many achroinim mistakenly assumed from the Rashba that this is the same din as Basel of Chizda, and it is based on personal conviction. And the husband says, Neman alayke beitrei. No. What does the Rashba say? The Rashba says that this halacha, Neman alayke beitrei, is only if the person believes that other person that says Ishtecho zinso because he knows him personally and he believes him whatever he may say. But sometimes a envious husband would believe anybody that would come and say Ishtecho zinso. Maybe they don't have any sholem bias. He has reasons to be distrustful. But if it is just that he believes when a person tells him this story, that has no halachic relevance. Neman alayke beitrei is only when you know that other person and you would trust him whatever he would say. You would trust him If he would tell you, you know, you owe another person $1 million, only that is Ne'eman Alaykei Beitei. Kemoro v'vabasa of Chizda. So some Achroinim mistakenly thought that the Rashba means to say it's the same Aloha, the same Yisoid. No. The Rashba merely means to say that Ne'eman Alaykei Beitei is not, I believe him in what he says right here and now, that Ishto is in, so no. That means nothing. Ne'eman Alaykei Beitei is only if you trust this person, whatever he would say. Kamo Rove v'Baslav Chizda. When Rove says, I know Baslav Chizda v'kimli begamah delo mishakra. But the Rashba does not mean to say it's the same aloha. It cannot be the same aloha. And that is why the Rashba says, this is only a din derabbanon. If it would be a din derabbanon, it wouldn't work in Yavamas Peches l'hatereishas lishla alma. If it would be a din derabbanan, it wouldn't work in the case of the tashbits to drink wine of one of the anusim. It's not the same din. Because leser ishal abala, we need shnei edim. And when we need shnei edim, baslav chizda doesn't work. And therefore, this is merely a halach in the context of shavi anaf shechaticha the sira, and according to the Rashba, it's a din derabbanan. One more source. And that is in Psochim Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, which really is an amazing halacha. So the sugya in Psochim Kuf Yud Gimel deals with the basic and fundamental question: are we supposed to hate Rishoim or love them? Or neutral? You could hate them, but you're not mechuyev to hate them. So Minchas Osher, Shalas Shuvas Chelek Aleph, I do not recall what simen. There is a discussion, a simen dedicated to the question about sinas harishoyim. And my basic psak is, sofek sina lechumra. And when you ever have a sofek, to have a mitzvah to hate someone, we say, if you have a sofek, love, don't hate. Sofek sina lechumra. But there are situations, according to Chazal, yes, when a person is oiver aveira b'mered u'b'mal u'b'mezid, Olav Nemar Betelim Haloi Misanecho Hashem Esno Viskoy Memecho Viskoyti. So the Gemara deals with the question: if I saw a person bemazed being Mechal Shabbos or being Goyven any other Aveda, am I supposed to tell my Rebbe or his Rebbe? Am I supposed to tell other people about it? And the Gemara says that's Loshon Hara, because they are not allowed to believe you. You're not allowed to accept Loshon Hara, and if they can't believe you, what's the point in saying? If you say it's an Aveda, you saw, so you are entitled and you're Mechiv to hate him. But you can't tell others, because those others are not supposed to believe. But the Gemara says, if you know that your Rebbe relies on you Kibbei Terei, then you could tell him. Because if he trusts you Kibbei Terei, and you have so much trust by him as to Adam Shalem, then he is entitled to believe you. And he would have a heter to hate that other person, and therefore you are allowed to tell him. So what we learn from this sugya is a big chiddush. A person is not allowed to accept Lashon Hara. But if Ne'eman or if Kibbei Terei, out of personal knowledge and familiarity and trust, he believes you, then he is entitled, and maybe even Mechuyev, not only entitled, to relate to that other person as a Oiver Aveira Bemezid. So this is an additional source that personal trust and conviction is relevant in Aloha. In a new area, not only in Dina Shtoris, the basic sugya of Reuven Basav Chizna, not only in Kashas, the Tashbits and the Igris Moshe, not only Lahater Isha Lishuk, Toises in Yevomis Peches, also in the area of Sinas HaRishon. You heard Lashon Hara, but you know the person that told you the story, and he is Ne'eman Olacho. You know him, like Rava Nul Baslav Chizda. And Kimli Begave Delo Mishakrei, you could believe him. What are the consequences? Not in Dinei Yonshim. Because once again, that demands Edus. And where Edim are required, there is no significance in personal conviction. By the din of sinas harishon, that does not require proper edus and beis din, and therefore there is significance in neman olav kibbeit today. So I do agree with the psak of Rav Moshe. So when children want to rely on their parents, parents want to rely on their children, you need to be honest with yourself and honest with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not always could we say out of total conviction, our children, our parents will never lie to us and never be machzel us. No. It shouldn't be taken for granted. It doesn't go without saying. But if you do trust them, out of personal knowledge and conviction, the Moshe says, you could rely on your personal trust. And I agree with that, as we proved from various different sugyas and shas and in the poiskim.
Can you take somebody along with you?
So, if Yitzchak knew Esav, and he decided, I think I could trust him because I know that he is diligent in kibbudav, even though he's not really firm enough in other mitzvahs, then Yitzchak relied on the Igros Moshe, and he ate from Esav's food. And Leah, knowing her son Reuven, felt she could trust him. But Reuven was a cotton. And this brings us to an additional discussion, which to me is very interesting and fascinating. So there's a Rashba on Mishmeres Abayis. Let me give you a bit of background. What is Mishmeres Abayis? The Rashba was the Gadol HaDor, going back 900 years. And he wrote many sforim. Best known is Chiddush HaRashba al Shas. He was one of the great parashonim, one of the great commentators, but he was also the greatest poisek of his generation, as we see in Shas Tshuvas HaRashba. But the Rashba wrote additional Sifrei Halacha, not only in the form of Shas Tshuvas, Torah Sabayis and Avodas HaKodesh. So Torah Sabayis is an Issa V'Heter, and then comes along the Ra'oh, and he writes Bedek Abayis, Asugas, and the Torah Abayis. So, Torah Sabayis is Torah Sabayis, Kishmo Kein Hu. In modern Hebrew, Bedek Abayis is renovations, Shiputzim. So the Ra'oh wrote Bedek Abayis and Torah Sabayis, comments and Ha'oras. And then the Rashba writes Mishmeres Abayis, and he totally rejects all the faults that the Ra'oh found in the bayis that the Rashba built. So, the Rashba built a house, a magnificent castle. The Ra'u comes along and he finds 1,000 problems and faults in the house that the Rashba built. And the Rashba rejects them all and he writes Mishmeres Abayis. So Mishmeres Abayis, Bayis Aleph, Shar Aleph. The structure of Torah Abayis is Botim and Sha'orim. Bayis Aleph, Shar Aleph, Daf Chesomit Beis in Torah Abayis. Mishmeres Abayis writes, the minig is that we send children out to buy meat, buy wine, buy foodstuffs, and we rely on them that the stuff that they bring home is kosher. Because it's a chazakah that probably is kosher, and we could rely on them, and that is the minag. That's what the Rashba writes. But it is not entirely clear in the Rashba. A kotna has no nemonis. That's a Gemara Psochem Davdalet. Hem nu b'derabbonon. But any sveike diuraisa, we do not rely on ketanim. So how could we send a kotna to buy meat, buy wine, when there's a chash of nevela and yayin esach? These are esurim diuraisa. The Rashba doesn't explain. And the achroinim have two basic and different interpretations. Tvuas Shor, one of the greatest poskim in Yoredeya. Simen Aleph Hilcha Shchita, Sif Lamed Hei, Sif Kotten, Samach Aleph, Tvuas Shor writes, Milse Davide Legluya, Lo Mishakra Insha. That's a Gemara Psochem Kuftes. Yavam is Kuftes Vav, and additional sources and shas. Milse Davide Legluya, Lo Mishakra Insha. A person wouldn't dare to lie when he knows that he could be proven as a liar. It's a milsad Hallelujah. And that is why we rely on ketanim if we send them out to buy meat or buy wine. I don't think that's pshat in Rashba, because if the Rashba svar is based on that sugya, why wouldn't he bring the sugya? It's a sugya mefreshes and shas. The Rashba usually explains his psukim. And the Rashba writes, why shouldn't we rely on him? It's a chazaka. What chazaka? The Rashba doesn't quote the sugya, mitzvah, milzah, David, de laglia, lo mishakra incha. Shulchan Aruch Harav, also in Yerudei Siman Aleph, Sifkot Mem Beis, has a different pshat, and he writes, even a kot nazacheskas kashas, and he's not choshed to be machshel his parents, or other people. And I once again argue, if that's pshat in the Rashba, why wouldn't the Rashba explain? The Rashba says we rely on a chazaka, but he doesn't write which chazaka. Shulchan Aruch Harav says cheskas kashas. I don't find it reasonable. For two reasons. Megamora mesvora. Why wouldn't the Rashba explain if he means milse David de la glielo meshakra incha or he means a cheskas kashas? But I disagree with these pshatim for an additional reason. The reason we don't rely on ketanim is not because we're choshed them that they'll be machshelos. It's just because that is the nature of children. To say that a child has a cheskas kashas, he won't be machshel, he might not even be aware which shops are kosher, which shops are not kosher. The reason we don't rely on ketanim is because that on kalo, not because we're choshed that they had some sinister motives or intentions. And to say on ketanim, milse David elagli elo mishakra, proves that you don't know children. And anybody that knows kids, oh, sometimes their tall tales and fabulous stories are definitely milse David elagli. To say that children will never lie by a milse David elagli, if you have kids, or you deal with kids, I don't think you would say that a child will never lie by milse David elagli. So, my havana of the Rashba is a very simple one. You need the monas if you send out a child in a new city. You don't send them to a certain shop. You sell them, go buy wine in a kosher store. You can't rely on the child. You tell them, look for a kosher butcher and buy meat. You can't rely on a child. He has no namonos. But if you send him to a certain shop, why would you need to be choshish that he went elsewhere? That is so unreasonable. And that is what the Rashba says. It's a chazaka. A child goes where you send him. He goes where he's familiar. He goes where he usually goes. He goes where he's sent. Why would you be choshish that he went elsewhere to buy wine or to buy meat? And to me, it's so posh that that is the kavanah of Rashba. You know, this is oilem kiminhagay noyeg. It's not the first time you send them out there and you pay the bills and a child goes where he is sent and there's no reason to be choshish. Maybe he went elsewhere to buy the wine and to buy the meat. So if we send him to the shop, he knows where he's supposed to go and he comes back with the products that we sent him to bring, then there's no reason to be choshish. And in that case, you don't need the monas. It's not a dinner for the monas. So I think that is pshat in the Rashba. So according to the Rashba, sometimes even when we're dealing with a d'oraisa, we could trust children. We could rely on children. Because children go where they're sent. And children... So I think then when Reuven brings home doidoim, brings home flowers, if he would bring a beautiful bouquet of flowers, and he would tell Rivka, you know, I found them on the field, that would be a strange story. And probably I would say, David Legluya, but it's not reasonable. But if he brings home some flowers, they're not a bouquet, it's not put together, we would say, why would we need to be choshish that he stole them? Oilem kiminhagay noyeg. And sometimes you walk the field and there are beautiful flowers in the field and therefore there's no need for nemonis, there's no need to be choshish. So according to the Rashba, that would be my understanding. Reuven finds flowers in the field and he is a tzaddik and he is a good kin and his mother relies on the story that he tells because it's reasonable. And there's no reason to be choshish. Maybe he stole those flowers. So today we discuss some very fundamental issues in Yesoides and Issa regarding Nemonis of Tanim or Nemonis of Psuleiades. Yes.
Personal conviction with respect to Rav Moshe's Pesach. What about knowledge? In the sense that the children trust the parents or vice versa, but maybe they don't know all the halakhos in terms of food, the stove, and all the rest. How does Rav Moshe deal with that part of the...
So I think Rav Moshe deals with the question when parents say, we went out and we bought food. You definitely can't trust people in the details of kashas if they are not thoroughly versed in what is needed. So once upon a time, you know, I remember my mother kashered meat. Today, I think there are very few ladies, even in our society, that kasher chickens. Today we buy kosher stuff. So could you rely on an unfirm person that he kashered a chicken? Probably not. Or, you know, or go through the process of melicha, which there are so many details. So I think the Moshe merely deals with the question of where did you buy the stuff? Where did you get the stuff? So they brought it, you know, they bought fruit from a caterer. So there is no need to know the details of halacha, and that is the basic question that the Moshe deals with, and that is the basic question we discuss today. So this week's Parsha tells us the story of Yaakov and Lavan, the complex and complicated relationship of the story of Yaakov and Rochel and Leo. Could I have a Rambam Mishpotim if it's Behesim Yad? So almost every week, as we move forward in Sefer Bereishis is also called Sifron Shel Avos. And a Sefer Yehoshua, Sefer Bereishis, is defined as Sefer HaYoshua. Not only Sefer Bereishis, Kodesh Moshe. But in Avodah Zarah Daf Chavav, there are two different opinions. Why is Kodesh Moshe called Sefer HaYoshua? Not any Kinyan, not Sefer Mishpotim, but Sefer Kinyan in Rambam. So according to one opinion of Avodah Zarah Daf Chavav, Toras Moshe is called Sefer Yoshua because of Sefer Bereishis. Because Sefer Bereishis is about the Avos. And Avoseini HaGdoshim Yeshorim Hoyu B'tachlis HaYashim. So last week, we related to the question, Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Oiholim, and when we learned the sugya of the Pchoira and the Brochus, Yaakov doesn't strike us as being Yoshev Betachlas Ayashus. So it is important to supplement and learn this week's parsha. This week's parsha dealing with Yaakov and Lavan. So in the very last halacha in Hilchos Shechiras, Perek Yud Gimel Hilchos Shechiras, halacha Zayin, the Rambam deals with the halachas of Shechiras Poyalim. On one hand, the Rambam writes how honest the employer has to be with his workers and how he needs to care for them. And on the other hand, how what is the integrity that we expect from workers to be honest the way they work for their employer. And then the Rambam writes, V'chayev ha'poyel la'avoid b'kol koichoi. Yaakov HaTzadik, it is the only time and only place in which Yaakov is called Yaakov HaTzadik. Usually, the title HaTzadik comes together with Yosef HaTzadik, because of the story with Yosef and Eishes Poitifera. But the Rambam writes, Yaakov HaTzadik, Omar, ki bekol koichi, avadati es avichem. And the Or HaChaim and other great Gedolim point out, Lavan didn't treat Yaakov as he should have. Lavan wasn't very fair with Yaakov, but nevertheless, Yaakov says, "Bekol koichi avadati es avichem." And the Rambam says, and that is why Yaakov was zoicha v'yifreis hu ish ma'oid ma'oid. So what we learn from the Rambam, the level of integrity that we expect from Shomer Mitzvahs, and the level of Yashas, because our Ovis were Yeshorim B'Tachlis HaYosha, and our Torah is defined as Sefer HaYosha. And even when you could rationalize, and Yaakov was entitled to say, Im Ikesh Tispatel, Lavan isn't fair with me, why do I need to be fair with him? No, that is not the right approach. Even when he isn't fair with me, I will be fair with him. And that is why Yaakov was zeicher. He was zeicher to great atzlocha. And not only bedino sheyitl schore b'yoylam abo, also b'yoylam azeh, and that is why v'yifroi su ish ma'oid ma'oid, and he had great atzlocha. So many times I quote what the Be'er HaGoyle writes in Choshe Mishpot in the beginning of Elchus Gineile v'Gizele. So the Be'er HaGoyle writes that, yes, Chazal were somewhat lenient in our dealings with non-Jews, Hafkoas Halva Osoi, but the Beit HaGoyle writes that I have examined and observed as I lived my life the way people dealt with each other, and I realized that those people that took advantage of non-Jews and weren't entirely honest and straightforward, ultimately were not successful. And their money, yored letimyon. And those that were always totally honest and trustworthy and never took advantage of others, not only Jews, even from Gentiles, those that were the ones that had siyata d'shmaya and atzlocha. And whenever I quote this Be'er HaGoyle, I say it is important to realize who writes those words? Why is the Be'er HaGoyle called Be'er HaGoyle? So in the Hakdama to his Sefer, he writes that I was a child when our community, our Kehillah, was destroyed by the non-Jews. And that was a terrible pogrom in the time of the Gezeirah of Tov Ches and Tov Tes, going back more than 400 years. And he fled his home with his parents when he was a young child in the middle of the night, because their life was in imminent danger. And they were goyla acher goyla. They were wandering from one town or one city to the other. So if anybody was entitled to say, those goyim yimach shamam, let's rob and take from them whatever we can, it was him. And he found the moral integrity and moral greatness to say, we should never take advantage of others, not only Jews, even of non-Jews, and that is most significant and most inspiring. So that was Yaakov Avinu, and that is the Ovis HaGdoshim, and that is Derech HaTorah, and our Torah is called Sefer HaYosha. So when we say, Chayav Adam Lomar, Moshe Giyu Masai, Lamasei Avosai, it is not only the Torah of the Ovis and the Tefillah of the Ovis and the Digdik HaDin of the Ovis, it is also the Yashus of the Ovis and conducting all our affairs B'Tachlas HaYosha and with total integrity and honesty with whomever we may deal with. And never to rationalize, he isn't so fair, so maybe I could be the same. No. Yaakov Avinu dealt with Lavan. Lavan was totally unfair. He took advantage of Yaakov, and he lied to Yaakov from the first encounter with Rachel and with Leah. And nevertheless, Yaakov says, Ki b'kol choichi avadati es avichem. And I was always totally honest and straightforward and integral in my monetary dealings with anyone, and even with Lavan. Harosha shebikesh lakor esakol. And in this aspect as well, we need to say Moseh Giyamaseh, Lamaseh Avoyseh. So many times I tell my friends, 1,000 years in Golas, Moshe advised ingenious ways how to take advantage of the Goyim. And maybe it was justified, because in Golas we were persecuted and we were robbed. And maybe Moshe couldn't survive if he didn't devise creative ways how to get out of situations and how to take advantage of the Goyim. But we're no longer Moshe. Things have changed. And we live in open and democratic societies in which we have total rights, just as others. So it's about time that we start taking advantage of each other, whether they're Jews or non-Jews, and taking advantage of the Medina and the Iria. And we need to be honest with everyone, whether it's with individuals or states or municipalities or countries or institutions or Chevrot Bituach or whoever it is. Because our Torah is Sefra Yosho, and our others were Yeshorim. And Yankov was Yosho with everyone, even with Lavan. And he didn't look for Tirutzim, and he didn't rationalize. Because Yashus is between us and ourselves, it's between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not only between us and other people. And the Rambam writes, at the end of Shemitah V'Yovel, when the Rambam writes and deals with the question, how could a person be part of Shevet Levi? How could he join the most elite club that Yiddishkeit has to offer, which is Shevet Levi? And the Rambam writes, Loi Shevet Levi Bilvad, Elo Kol Ish Vesh Mekol Bo Yolam, Asho Nachoyno Madoi, Asho Hevino Madoi, O Nachoyno Ruchoi, Lamed Lepnei Hashem Liyavdei O Nishorosoi, הולך יושו כפי שעשוהו הוא אלוקים ופוירק מאור אבוי לחשבוין עשרה במה שביקשו לבני יודם, הרי זה נסקדש קודש קודש. הולך יושו כפי שעשוהו אלוקים. That is a condition, not only to be a mensch, to achieve any level of kedusha. Because kedusha is not only about Torah, and not only about tefillah. Kedusha is about Yashus as well. And you need to be Yashur, not because you got to be a mensch, because otherwise you can't come close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mesava V'sisu HaYashur V'HaToiv. Toiris Moshe is Sefer HaYashur. And our Ovois were Yashurim. So the Rambam writes, you could achieve no level of Kedusha, only with Torah, with Avodah, and condition number 3. Hoylech Yosho, kefi she'asohu elokim, v'poyrek ma'olav hoylech eshboines arabim, asher bikshu lehem b'nei odom, al shem ha'kosov, elokim, oso esa odom Yosho, v'heimu bikshu eshboines arabim. So we should all emulate and go in the footsteps of Yaakov Avinu, and in the footsteps of our Avos, and b'makayim kol ma she'kosov b'seifa ha'yosho. And it is the Daf Kuboy, Elokim Oso, as the Odom Yosho, Vehemu, Bikshu, Cheshboin, and Stabim. The Schus of the Ovis Ekdoishim, we should be Zoichet, to be as Goel Tzedek, to Yeshuas Yisroel, Yeshuas Hashem Kerem Ayin, to be as Moshiach Tzedkenu, Bemeiro, Viumenu, Amen.